Hey there, Mini Weekend fans, and welcome to the 2024 NHL Playoff Preview podcast tonight. I'm coming at it with you guys by myself, and we're going to rock it. First and foremost, we're not going to take too much time here, but obviously it's a tough podcast to have with the Wild not being in it. This is the first podcast of previewing the playoffs that we've done. That the Wild have not been in it the last 4 years. This is, the fourth or fifth. The Wild, unfortunately, did not get very far in the last 4 or 5 years in the playoffs, but at least they made it, so, you know, we were able to kind of talk about them in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff. But then before we kind of jump right into first rounds and everything like that, one of the things I kind of wanted to bring up that we didn't last year or last week in the podcast was taking a look at the Wild predictions that I had this year. And the first one was I predicted at the beginning of the year that Brock Faber will flourish in the second defenseman pair. And truthfully, I think he went above and beyond with Spurgeon out. I think he did amazing. He in the first pair D a lot of the times. And I think, unbiasedly, he should win the Calder. I think if you think in terms of, like, you know, the MVP, you think about these individual accolades that you can win in a team sport. And what they want it to be because of is how good you are in affecting your team. Now, obviously, not saying the Wild were amazing, but I think the Wild were obviously more successful, whether it was not much, but they were more successful than the Chicago Blackhawks were. Despite how good Connor Bedard is, and this isn't me slighting him, he missed some games. I think that's another thing, too, you got to look at. I think he missed some games. Brock Faber didn't really miss any games. I think he was one of the two or three guys on the team that actually played all 82 games, I believe. So pretty amazing. And yeah, like I said, you think about who had the better team, the Wild. You think about their impact on that team. Wild and versus the Blackhawks, I think it should be Faber. So, The second was that the Wild was going to have 240 goal scorers on the roster. I specifically said Kaprizov and Boldy, and Kaprizov did that with ease in the final game of the season. He finished with 49, and Boldy finished, I believe, 29 or 30? So it wasn't far away, but you know, obviously, that didn't happen. So, one for two already. The third one I said couldn't have been more wrong. Filip Gustavsson, I said was going to win 30 games for us. And, man, if he could have done that, the Wild would have... the Wild for sure would have made the playoffs. It just would have been a matter of where. He finished with a 2018-2 record. So, I mean, you take, you know, let's say two of those overtime losses turn into that, and then eight, you know, he'd have, what would that be, a 30-10-2 record. I mean, that would have just been amazing to get from him. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say I think a lot of people thought that was going to happen for him. He was going to take that next step for us. But I think we're going to, I think it's going to be a different year next year as far as goaltending is considered and going forward. The fourth one I said Rossi was going to crack the roster, and get 40 points. And he did just that. He did a really good job being kind of going back and forth between second line centerman and third line centerman throughout the year. And in 82 games, got us exactly 40 points. So congratulations to him, and obviously getting that one right feels pretty good. And then I said throughout the year, by the end of the season, at least two UFAs were going to re-sign with us. Some of those names could have been Foligno, Hartman, Zuccarello, Duhaime, Maroon, Galkowski, Fleury. And that did happen, as we've already locked in Foligno, Hartman, and Zuccarello for multi-year extensions. So I didn't go 5 for 5, but went 3 for 5, which is over half. So I will take it. I will take it. So with that, why don't we just go right ahead and jump into our predictions, and those that have already listened to the NBA playoff prediction we did, we will kind of go in a similar similar order to that one for the NHL tonight. Now, mind you, I know this is the day the NHL playoffs actually started. I know the Hurricanes have already won the first game over the Islanders. And that the what we have that the Toronto and Bruins game is in the mix. But once again, we've had some instances like this in the past. All of my predictions I always do before the first puck or the first tip off of the first game. So yeah, without further ado, let's just hop right into the Western Conference. So for me, the first one, we're just going to start off with the Stars and the Golden Knights. I think this is honestly going to be such a tough, most of these are going to be pretty tough matchups in the first round, in terms of, you know, what's that, the first eight, series. The Stars are one of the most dominant offenses throughout the NHL, as they averaged a shade under 3.6 goals, which was third in the league during the regular season. Their scoring depth was astounding, with the likes of Jason Robertson, Pavelski, Hinz, and Wyatt Johnson lighting the lamp pretty much on a consistent basis for them. But adding Chris Tanev to stabilize the blue line, I think, was a huge addition for them at the trade deadline, as much as I am not a Stars fan. But my big question mark for Dallas stands in a crease. We've seen Jake Oettinger thrive in the past, but lately it's been kind of up and down campaign for the goaltender. Entering the postseason, Oettinger tallied a 5-1-0 record with a 1.67 goals against average and a .941 save percentage over the last six starts. So perhaps he's turned the corner. But you can bet the defending Stanley Cup champions will give the Stars everything they can handle after they've added Thomas Hertl to a loaded group of centers at the trade deadline. Captain Mark Stone could also return at some point in the series, which could make it interesting. But ultimately, I think the Stars are just too well-rounded to go against. So I got the Stars beating the Golden Knights 4-3 in that matchup. And then for the second matchup here, we got the Colorado Avalanche taking on the Winnipeg Jets. And I'm not gonna lie, I think it's gonna be interesting because the Jets have home ice advantage. But and like I mentioned in the last one, as tight as a lot of these series is gonna believe, I really believe this is going to be the toughest series to predict out of the opening round. Look, this actually makes me really good to say, but the Avalanche have really faded over the last month of the regular season, as they dropped 7 of their last 11 games As a result, Colorado was out of the race for the Central Division crown and even lost out on home ice advantage in this series. But still, Nathan MacKinnon is just produced a Hart Trophy caliber season, in my opinion. And this is still a very well-rounded group that put the puck in the net more than any other group on a nightly basis with 3.68 goals per game. But it certainly won't be able to do it on the road in this series with the likely Vezina winner, Connor Hellebuyck, who really put this Jets team on his back this season in between the pipes for the Jets. I think if I'm being honest, my biggest issue with the Jets is that I'm not sure if they will have enough of a scoring punch to keep up with the Avalanche. So as entertaining as the series is going to be, I'm going to go with a team that's been here before, and I got the Avalanche winning this one in six games. excuse me. And then what do we got here? The Canucks and Predators. Honestly, the Canucks have come a very, very, very long way in a calendar year, to say the least. Since bringing in Rick Tocchet, the Canucks have very much been a juggernaut that kind of took everybody by surprise this last year. They're a very deep team. I think Vancouver did get goaltender. I always butcher his first name. I think it's Thatcher Demko. Back in the lineup over the regular season's final week after missing some time with a knee injury. So I think having Demko back in the crease is massive and really makes life much more difficult for the Predators. But it's been a very successful. But it's. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. For the Predators, I think it's been a very successful season for the Predators, but I think ultimately they're coming up against a Canucks team that's just too loaded from an offensive perspective. So I actually think the Canucks are going to beat the Predators relatively quickly. 4-1, which brings us to our a final matchup. The Edmonton Oilers and Los Angeles Kings. Look, the Oilers have all the pressure in the playoffs on them, especially with the likes of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl starting and off on that first line for them. They're seeking their first Stanley Cup wins, having redirected themselves and the team to that effort after last season's loss to Vegas. Stathletes actually has them with the best statistical chances of winning the cup at 12.5%. So I mean, it's a lot to handle. Excuse me. The Kings, however, I really think looking at their roster, they really have a good mix of veteran players and young standouts. And however, I guess you'd describe Pierre-Luc Dubois these days. But they've succeeded under Jim Hiller in the standings after he replaced Todd McClellan at the All-Star break. But their underlying numbers, to me, reveal a team that doesn't really defend as well as maybe they should or have in the past. And is one of the playoffs' most meager offensive teams. While their traditional stats look good that I've seen, I think the Kings' goaltending battery might be one of the few in the playoffs where the Oilers have the edge. Edmonton did defeat LA in seven games 2 years ago and in six last season. Ultimately, I think the Oilers will beat them again in this postseason. And the Kings know it all too well. I actually have the Oilers overtaking the Kings in five games. Excuse me, in this one. So that's what I have for the Western Conference, and then heading on over to the Eastern Conference, we got the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Battle of Florida, they're calling it. The Battle of Florida has been pretty lopsided in the postseason, with Tampa Bay winning both previous meetings in 2021 and 2022, and winning 8 of the last 10 games between the two teams. But let's not kid ourselves, those were different Lightning teams. This team is more top-heavy than ever. There is a 29-point gap between the Lightning's 5th and 6th leading scorers. excuse me, they don't have injured defenseman Sergachev, a key asset to their blue line. And they haven't had the same Andrei Vasilevskiy they've relied on for the past, I mean, what seems like a decade to carry them. He did miss 2 months with an injury and posted a minus 10.84 goals saved above expected. So, I'll be completely honest. If Vasi is Vasi again, there's always a chance that Tampa's collection of stars, such as Kucherov, Hedman, Braden Point, and Steven Stamkos, can control a 7-game series. But I think, honestly, this is where that diminished support and cast is going to get exposed. Sure, the Panthers, you can argue, are a little bit top-heavy too. But I think they're just deeper down the lineup with significantly better defense. They're first in goals against average to Tampa Bay's 21st. So I got the Pan I like the Panthers in 5 in this series. And then heading over to what's that? The Hurricane and Islanders. I like the Hurricanes in this series, truthfully. The Hurricanes added quite a bit of talent over the last calendar year as well, and looked very, very primed for a deep Stanley Cup run. Jake Gensel has been tremendous since coming over from the Penguins at the trade deadline, skating primarily with Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis. Has really elevated Gensel's game to another level, it seems like, despite the fact that he played with Sidney Crosby before this. The Hurricanes also are one of the few teams in the playoff field that have the luxury of two top-tier netminders in Anderson and Kolchak. Anderson will presumably be the starter for game one. I mean he was. That's what I had in my notes, but I mean he was because they already won and played. But I really do think even if he struggles, Brendan Moore can turn to Kolchak, who's played extremely well when Anderson was out for the earlier in the season. And I got the Hurricanes taking care of the Islanders in 6 in this one. And then after that, we go to the Rangers and Capitals. The Rangers and the Capitals. What about that? Let's just be honest. The only reason we're even humoring the Capitals here, goalie Charlie Lindgren. He was 5th in the league in goals saved above expected with 12.97, and won 4 or 5 games down the stretch. And Washington had an uncanny habit of subverting expectations, making the playoffs after an aggressive bit of selling at the trade deadline. Yes, the Rangers carry the hex of the President's Trophy. There have been 37 previous winners for having a league's best record. 8 of them won the Stanley Cup. 8 of them didn't even make it out of the first round. But losing to the Capitals, who don't have the matchup advantages to exploit the Rangers' shortcomings, would be quite the upset. Ovechkin and Carlson have seen this, before. The Caps won the President's Trophy in 2010, and they were goalied out of the playoffs by Halak and the Canadiens. And that kind of scenario they need here, although it's not sleep on the elite defense play first year coach from Spencer Carberry, I think is his name. Squeeze out of this group. I think the Rangers will have their issues after this series, and I got the Rangers winning this one, excuse me, in 5. And then finally, the first round series that everybody is talking about, the Tampa Bay Maple Leafs taking on the Boston Bruins, and it's going to be another one. Gosh, I'm probably going to end up regretting this, but I'm going to side with the Maple Leafs in this series. And remember, everything I'm writing down, every thing I'm coming at you guys with, was before this game was underway. And I know the Bruins are currently winning. But let's just cut the shit here. Toronto is absolutely loaded at the top. And Austin Matthews has been a proven playoff producer in each of the last two seasons. Yes, it's noteworthy that the Bruins have won all four matchups during the regular season. But in my opinion, the Bruins limped into the postseason and should be facing the Lightning rather than the Maple Leafs. One of the biggest storylines in this series, I believe, could be the talent drop-off after David Pastrnak. Sure, you know, he tallied 110 points on the season, but they didn't have anyone else that even touched the 70-point mark. So I believe if the Maple Leafs defense can do enough to limit Pastrnak's opportunities, this could be a series that Toronto can legitimately steal, and I have the Leafs finally getting over the hump, beating the Bruins in 7, 4-3. And yeah, so that wraps up the first round of the NHL playoffs here. Now, for the second round and beyond, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I went back and forth quite a bit on, like I said, second round, conference finals, and Stanley Cup. So needless to say, we're just going to jump right into it, honestly, before I change my mind again. So for the first game we have in the Western Conference second round, I got the Dallas Stars hosting the Colorado Avalanche. For me, honestly, I saw this series boiling down to home ice advantage, as both of them have played, you know, exceptionally well at home this season. And I know I did mention, especially in the first round, that, you know, Ottinger could be a bit of an X factor in that series against the Golden Knights, just with his inconsistency issues. But truthfully, I think the more I thought about it, you know, I think if he can channel that inconsistency and be a little bit more consistent and beat a very, very good wild card team in the Golden Knights, I definitely think he'd be able to do that against the Avalanche as well. Plus, I think with all the star power both of these teams have, they, yes, very much are comparable with, you know, the top-end defenders, like we talk about, you know, Kale McCarr, Heiskanen, all those guys. I ultimately think, as much as it pains me to admit, the Stars' depth is probably a little bit trustworthy and deeper, and I think will ultimately play a bit of a role, you know, later in games, or even if games get into OT and things like that. So I got the Stars in 7 games over the Colorado Avalanche. And then in the other Western Conference, we got the Canucks going up and hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Look, I'm just going to be honest in this one. As much as Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are very good, and I believe someday will probably win a Stanley Cup, I just don't trust the Oilers much past the first round of the playoffs. But hey, if anything makes Edmonton happy, or Edmonton fans happy with my predictions, I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair, as the Islanders averaged about 3.59 goals this year, and Vancouver had 3.42. Truthfully, I think it comes down a bit to goaltending. To me, not to discredit Stuart Skinner at all, but I think Demko has been slept on a bit this year with what he's been able to do and the consistency he's had. I'm surprised, he hasn't been talked about more personally. And I know playoff experience, definitely leans in the way of the Oilers. But if there's one thing that I personally have noticed over these last couple of playoffs that we've done here on the podcast is that there's usually always one team that is relatively new to the playoff system, and has a miraculous run. And I think this Canucks team is that team. So I got the Canucks winning this series in a six for a date with the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Finals. Then for the Eastern Conference Finals, we'll start off with the Rangers hosting the Hurricanes. I think one thing for me was that I've noticed with the Rangers, researching them a bit, I think their greatest advantage against any opponent is simply their power play. They now with that already limited by playoff officiating, that could be hindered a little bit, but. Also, I think Carolina was the best penalty-killing team in the league this season, having limited New York to just one goal in 10 power plays during their season series. So I think, if anything, the special teams is a wash. But the Canes were actually slightly better on the power play than the Rangers this season, 26.9% to 26.4%. And the Blue Shirts were third on the kill. Although the Rangers may have the advantage in goal, I don't think it's going to be enough to swing the series. And I'm just going to come out and say that I think the Canes are just a more talented team. So I got the Hurricanes advancing in six over the New York Rangers. And then for the final second round matchup, we have the Panthers and the Maple Leafs. Last season, the Panthers rode the momentum of an incredible 7-game stunner over the Bruins to knock out the Leafs in the second round, and I think the opposite is going to happen here. I think, with Toronto getting the "we beat Boston" wind in its sails against Florida, I think the lesson the Leafs must learn during the first round series is how to grind out chances in the playoffs against a superior defensive team. And if Boston is the test to that end, I think Florida is, should be relatively easy to crack. The Panthers are the gold standard, pretty much in limiting their opponents' scoring chances, and finished the NHL's best defensive team this season. The Leafs did get down 3-0 in their series against the Panthers last season, and this whole thing probably swings on whether Toronto can take home an ice advantage away on the road, and whether it has found its goalie that can keep Reinhardt, Barkov, and Tkachuk off the board. Ultimately, I got the Maple Leafs over the Panthers in six, getting them over the hump. And then moving on to the Western Conference Finals for me. We got the Dallas Stars taking on the Vancouver Canucks, and truthfully, as much as I hate to admit it, I think this will be the series that the Canucks' inexperience comes up short. And it'll be a good learning year for the likes of, the Brock Besser, Quinn Hughes, and all those guys. And like I said, to this point, if Ottinger's still holding up, it's going to be tough to crack him. And again, like we talk about a lot in hockey, especially with some of these arenas and the fans. I think home ice is going to be very critical in this one. I got this one going the distance, but ultimately the team with home ice advantage will come up victorious. I got the Dallas Stars beating the Vancouver Canucks. Moving on to the Stanley Cup Finals for the Western Conference Finals. Believe me, it does not. I do not like saying it, but I'm trying to predict honestly what I think is going to happen. Then before we get to the Stanley Cup Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Ouch. I know for some people, to this point, it's probably hard to even consider the frenzy in Toronto and what it might look like if they actually make it out of the first round of the playoffs for the first time since, make it to this round of the playoffs, the Eastern Conference Finals, for the first time since 2002. But we are going to find out. The Hurricanes are going to be incredibly difficult out based on the way they play, their overall depth, and the kind of shutdown options that they have at forward on the blue line. For Toronto to win this series, it's going to have to find a few heroes who aren't in the core four to score a big goal at the right time. And truthfully, that's how playoff legends are made, people. If the Leafs are going to play for the Stanley Cup, it's going to be a series that looks a lot like the one the Panthers had against the Canes. Tightly played, one-bounce games, which the Maple Leafs find a way, while the Hurricanes are still searching for that one goal to tip in the series. I got the Leafs advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals for a date with the Dallas Stars. And then, yeah, I know we've, you know, up to this point, first round, second round, conference finals, we've talked a lot about both teams. And I'm just going to say it. I think Stanley Cup Finals, Dallas Stars, Toronto Maple Leafs, ultimately what it's going to come down to, like we've talked about in the past, is who outside of this, you know, the top four or five guys on the forwards for both these teams. Again, who's going to step up? Who's getting more help from their, you know, third to half line? And truthfully, I think up to this point, should both of these teams make the playoffs or make the Stanley Cup Finals right now, I got to say, I like Toronto in six. And truthfully, no, this is not me slighting Dallas. I think it'll be a very, very interesting and very fun series to watch, despite not my hatred for the Dallas Stars, because, I mean, let's be honest, that's our team. That's not Dallas's team. conversation for another day. But yeah, that's what I have. I got the Dallas Stars and the Toronto Maple Leafs meeting up in the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Toronto Maple Leafs taking home Lord Stanley in six games to wrap the whole thing up. And game six would actually be in Toronto. So Canada is going to be going fucking nuts. So that is what I have for you guys tonight. Let me know what you guys think. And yeah, it'll be a fun run to the cup. Till next time, Minnie.